Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE, and on this podcast, we feature an interview with Larry Conrad, Vice Chancellor and CIO for the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Could you talk a little bit about how you've seen cybersecurity develop over the span of your career and how you see the future of cybersecurity developing?
It's been, I'll say, a move from security as some ancillary thing really into the mainstream. You can't really ignore information security today. It's sort of right there. So there's been that shift in the focus on it. It's also, I think, shifted from being, well, that's that IT thing, you know, that the IT guys have to worry about. Now I think there's a, maybe not universal, but there's a greater acceptance and understanding that, no, this is something everybody has to worry about. Yeah. Certainly the IT folks have to do it, but individual faculty members, individual students, individual staff, senior non-IT administrators, they all have to focus on that. I think the spectrum of the exposures has just exploded. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's been one of the huge changes. The attacks, I think, have also migrated. I've certainly seen this over the last decade for sure. Migrated from more, you know, sort of counting coup or, you know, the hackers doing it just to show that they could, more mischief.
Yeah.
To now it's organized crime. I mean, the people are doing this for the money.
Yeah.
And that's what's fueled so much of the inventiveness. As soon as there's money associated with it, the people get real creative,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
they're motivated.
Yeah.
So we certainly see that. And I also think, and again, this isn't universal, but I think we're also seeing a broader understanding by the non-technical leadership at our institutions that, you know, there is no silver bullet for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go... You know, despite what a lot of the vendors were telling our leadership earlier, you can't just go give a pile of money to vendor X and they're going to solve all your problems.
Right.
There is, certainly there are better and worse ways to handle information security. But even if you are God's gift to information security and you got an endless budget and a huge staff, you can still get nailed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best and the brightest. And when you look at the chain of institutions that have been in the chronicle of higher education because of significant, I mean, it's the best and the brightest. So that's been a dear shift. Now, what I think is going to be coming, I guess my own feeling is, and I think this is happening already, it's a much, much more focus and shift in the, I'll say, institutional awareness towards the impact on the brand, mm-hmm. on the reputation. Now, it's always been a concern, of course. There's been, I think, my sense is there's been more focus on, well, what's the financial impact? You know, what's it going to cost us if we have this particular? And, you know, you have, and these are important. I mean, you sit down and you see the stats. It's, you know, it averages $250 a social security number or whatever it is for an incident. Those are important concerns. But I think institutions are even more focused now on the impact on the brand. I think we're seeing a shift towards more acceptance of a greater level of control.
Mm-hmm.
Just again, because all the things we talked about, the motivation of the hackers and the intelligence of the attacks. Higher ed is notorious, right? You know, faculty members don't want anybody telling them what they can do or what they can't do. But I think that's, as far as information security is concerned, I think we're seeing a shift and I think we'll see more of a shift on that. And, related to that, we'll just see a greater acceptance of a greater level of intrusiveness as far as for security. Are they going to like it? No, they don't like it. They're not going to like it. They're never going to like it, but they'll accept it just because the alternatives are too severe.
So for issues that rise to the top of your priority list, issues that might have technical complexities that can be difficult to unravel, how do you communicate the importance of the issue to executives and presidents so they understand the complexities and understand the resources you need?
Sure. Well, the first thing is don't try to sell the technology.
Okay.
I mean, that's a non-starter. It may sound a little trite, but we love our technology, right? And we want everybody to love our technology. But certainly at the senior administration level, while you can occasionally find maybe a senior administrator who will engage on the technology, for the most part, they don't have that luxury. So so that's the first thing. And what you do need to focus on then is, so what's the impact on the institution? You know, if you're going to go make a pitch about technology X, you've got to have a good story. You've got to have a good story about, and it's got to be put in university terms, not technology terms. So there has to be a direct connection between helping the institution, helping the president, the provost, whoever, the deans, helping them accomplish what they need to get done. And I think that's a key focus you have to have on that. And sort of related to that, you have to pitch on not only how will it help them achieve the goals that they already know about, but what are some of the new opportunities that might develop that they didn't have before? And this isn't the best example, but you mentioned teaching and learning earlier. Well, we've done a lot of work, obviously, over the last decade plus with things like learning management systems and having more interactive engagement with the students. Well, you know, one of the side effects of that is it's made more distance learning accessible to a broader set of students and a broader spectrum, particularly working adults. And that's a real opportunity for many colleges, universities, and in particular departments. Certainly, I think we have to take a business focus. I'll use return on investment. Whether or not you use the term ROI, there is an ROI for anything and everything. And I think the final thing I'd say on that is wherever I can and whenever I can, particularly if it's a new opportunity, I like to go in with a partner or one or more partners and say, look, you know, I'll use the example. The budget committee is used to the CIO coming in and whining about money. Okay, so I'm going to do that, of course. But when I go in there and whine about money, and I've got one or two or three of my non-IT colleagues sitting there, maybe it's a dean, maybe it's a director, maybe it's another vice chancellor, maybe it's an associate assistant vice chancellor in my case, and they're talking about how important this is. That builds my credibility, and that ups the possibility that it'll get funded considerably.
Well, Larry, one last question. Sure. Could you talk a little bit about your involvement with Internet 2 and some of the projects that are hatching right now?
Sure. This is really an exciting time for Internet 2. There's been very substantial leadership changes over there the last couple of years. Dave Lambert is the current, still relatively new CEO. Dave's just done a tremendous job, is doing a tremendous job in sort of refocusing the organization. And, I think it's important to understand that that's one of the benefits anytime you have a change at a senior leadership level. There's an opportunity to, I'll say, sort of reinvent, redefine the entity. In fact, I know I'm off on a bit of a side.
No, that's okay.
I've come to really appreciate that when you hire good people, they will redefine any job that you put them into. Mm-hmm. And at this point in my career, I've come to not only expect that, but to depend on it. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I can't actually think of a single personal instance where that hasn't been an advantage. At any rate, so that's what I think a key piece of what we're seeing with Dave's leadership. A reinvention of the organization. They haven't abandoned their core principles. Obviously, the network is key, but the focus that we're seeing now is building. How do you leverage that network investment? Mm-hmm. So, they're still focused on the basics. The move to the new 100 gig network. That's a fundamental investment in the basics of Internet 2. It's raising the bar on the our national R&E network. Moving into areas like software-defined networking and the new open flow opportunities. I think, again, that's a fundamental investment in that networking infrastructure. But then when you look at where they're headed with the new Net Plus cloud-based offerings, that's a great example of how they're investing in the core of the network, but they're also looking for ways to help higher education institutions leverage that core investment in new and innovative ways. So I think the jury's out. We'll know in a couple of years
how
well all this works. But the leadership team, you know, Dave and the rest of his leadership team get high marks, I think, for taking us off in this direction. There's been a lot of talk here at this conference about the Net Plus offerings, and I think this really is a great opportunity for partnership. I mean, the Internet, too, is one of the co-sponsors with EDUCAUSE of the HISC initiative. And the fact that Internet, too, has reached out to HISC and said, look, we need to do this, but we need to do it in a secure fashion, and we need to be able to assure higher ed institutions who are looking at these services that, yeah, we're going to deploy these services in a secure, safe, and reliable manner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very good thing.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
that.
This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.